Hi everybody, we are back. We are back with the dragon, Stefan Tapulatu. Good morning, good evening, sir.
Good morning for you, sir. Good evening here. So, finally.
Firstly, apologies to everybody for that, but it worked out quite well because we had a little chat to Johan da Silva. He told us lots of stories about you that you probably didn't want to hear anyway. So now we know lots of inside information.
So now I can talk a little bit about him.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah. Firstly, sir, thank you very much for coming on the interview. Tell us about your day and what your days are looking like at the moment.
At the moment, it's quite busy. It sounds a little bit strange, but during this Corona crisis, we are not allowed in Holland to open the gyms, but I still do some personal training with the guys and a lot of online lessons for my students. So you see, I have the kids, the juniors, the seniors, and of course we do with ITF Nederland. We have online training every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and even the Saturday morning. There's for people lesson and classes to follow.
So how do you do that? What software are you using? And do you just stand in front of the camera and pretend that they're in front of you?
Yeah. It's like a normal seminar. Only you have to imagine all the people in the room. Wow. And that's quite funny when you first are there, and also very push a lot of energy and power, because there's nobody actually in the room, but you have to imagine that it is, and then you have to talk to the camera. It's like I can be an actor, I know now, because it's going very well. But we do all the stuff, all the technical stuff. It's quite you have to do just a little bit, because sometimes on Facebook, when you put your right hand up, it goes to the left, so that's good. But on Zoom, when I do my right hand, it's the left hand for the kids in the living room. So they're gonna see they struggle, because when you do the patterns, you go to the right left way, they go to the right way, and they look at me and go like, "Sabon, you're not doing it well," you know. So that's some things you have to be helpful and explain that to the kids and. That's all the technical stuff and the sparring stuff, the combinations I do on the Friday evening with the ITF Netherlands. Yeah, that's just a normal class, what I do, a normal training, how I do it. But and sweating also. So it's only not only teaching, but only also training.
Wow. And as far as you know, are you getting a good response and lots of people watching the videos?
With the kids, we have they have to attend the Zoom class, but on Facebook you will see it's a strange time for a lot of people, because it's between 6 and 7 or 7 and 8 for some teachers, and of course it's family time, it's dinner time, so it's sometimes you have a lot of people, but you see afterwards they uploaded your video and your training, then it's a lot, but attending is most between, what I can say, some have 50, some have 20, so it difference between those figures.
Okay. Are you concerned about your gym, your business, the survival of your club? Is that something that is worrying you at the moment, or do you think through doing the online classes you'll get through okay?
You have to be creative in these days. I think we all need some creative things to do online, because you cannot see nobody, you have no physical contact. You can all, for us, you have to come with something special for the people, because all the fees are paid by all the students or their parents. So if you do nothing, you can never say you have to pay the fees. Now, nowadays, we go online, And you see, there's a lot of good response to that. So all the parents say, oh, nice. The kids love that because they go crazy. And meanwhile, you can still teach them or stabilize the techniques and the patterns for them at home, because sparring, it's okay. Sparring, they like. They go running around the room and punching and kicking. But for the patterns and for the step sparring, it's quite difficult after a long time, especially with the kids, that they can remember. So these are the days for the online training for us as coaches and as trainers. It's the best way to do.
Right. You grew up in a Taekwondo family. Your dad, Master Tapalatu, is a lovely man. And I was wondering what your earliest memories were of all this. What's the first time you remember what was going on?
The first time I remembered was like, I was like, the first time I started training, I attended a training from my father with his first teacher, Mr. Seifer, in Holland, in Groningen, in our town. I was like 5 or 6 years old. I was just joining the class. I go like, oh, this I like, you know? And then I was just 5 or 6 years old. That was the first time I went with my father to a class. At that time, he was quite young. I think he was like 23, 24. He already started. He was like 19 years, 19, 20 years old. He started Taekwondo.
Wow. And other family members involved now, Bianca, obviously, and I believe you've also got a cousin and a niece who are doing really well in the ITF scene. Can you tell us about family involvement?
Yeah. The family involvement, back days was like, I had two cousins, Django Tapilato and Patiparu Tapilato, and of course my sister at that time in the national team. Patiparu and Django, both world champions, both 54 kilos. It was like in Canada, Montreal, Django became world champion 54 kilos in 1990. And Patti in 94 in what I think there was the best world championships ever was Malaysia. And a few years later, my sister always also got a two-time world champion in Argentina. And my cousin Richard was a junior world championship in Slovakia, I think it was. So that's it for the family matters now. And my sister, of course, still training, has two beautiful daughters, and one is exceptionally good. I think she's from another level, and that's Tyra. And she became world champion kickboxing, European champion Taekwondo, and of course last time in Insel, world champion Taekwondo. So involvement is really big from our family.
I have a question about your involvement in competitions, because I didn't learn this until recently, but you actually medaled in a patterns competition. Was it a Euros?
That was Euros. Who told you?
Is this true?
Yes, this is true.
So why didn't you keep competing in patterns after winning a medal at the Euros?
I lost, of course, from the famous Mr. Suska in the finals. And I did a lot of patterns. We did team patterns. We became third on the European Championship in 91 in Poland. I was also in that team, and of course, special techniques was also one of my favorites. I became third place in World Championships in Montreal, so I won gold with sparring and third on the special techniques. So, and after that, we did also the patterns, and I lost from Suska in the final. I was that time I could do pretty good, but after that, all the focus went on the sparring.
Okay. What about coaching wise? Have you done much coaching of patterns, or has it mainly been sparring?
It's mainly sparring, but not all my specific details from the patterns is that of a standard that I can teach all the good guys in Holland and the good girls from the national team, because like Borok is one of my favorite pattern girls, woman there is in Holland. She has a good how you say, it's a good character. She wants to learn, she wants to train hard, but there are some specific things that I can not teach her because my focus is too much on sparring. What I can do with the sparring guys, I cannot do for the pattern guy because it's specialist. You know, you got, of course, you got Mark Proton, who's very well known, and he's got also specific things, details, how you look, how you kick, how high you kick, how you use your hands. I can do only with sparring. I can do on those details, and I'm not that specialized to do that with the pattern also.
Okay. So for what makes a great coach, in your opinion, whether that be sparring or patterns or anything, what are some of the characteristics of a great coach?
That I've learned the last few years, because a great coach is not a coach who can spar really good, who won a lot of medals. I think a good coach can level with all the competitors, is very comfortable by people, and you must be very trustworthy. I think people can, it's not only by the sparring or by the patterns, it's not only about how good you are, how bad you are to fight, but also your feelings. You know, you must understand also people, how they feel. Are they sad? Are they happy? Or is there something in the family or boyfriend or girlfriend, what happened? You know, you have to make them comfortable, but it can be optimal result in their competition.
Is there any country in the world where you haven't coached that you would like, or you've thought maybe it would be a good challenge for you to become a national coach or some kind of coach in a different country?
Of course, I thought a lot about it, and of course with Master Johan Silva, also a good friend of mine, we teach across the world. We did a lot of expertise on our past in sparring, but for me now it's it's not about a certain country I wanna coach, but for me it's like, if I wanna be a coach from a country, the country must be on the ground of beginning to bring competitors, world championships, European championship, World Cup, European Cups. It's not going to a country who has a lot of champions like Poland or Germany or even New Zealand had a lot of champions. You know, I wanted to develop a country so they can grow by itself after I leave. So for me, it's just what we always do. Our experience and that we share with all the people. That's what I like. So like we went to Trinidad, and of course is that one of the countries don't get a lot of money, but what we saw there was a lot of talent. And because they are so poor, they never travel anywhere.
Yeah.
So all the talent is I think it's wasted. And there are a lot of more countries like this in the world. So for me that's the challenge as a coach.
Yeah. One of the first memories I have of you is I walked past a room in a hotel, and Mark Trotter had got you in to speak to the New Zealand team, and they were all crowding around listening to you talk. And I knew who you were, but I was so impressed that you were willing to come along and spend time talking to the guys and giving them, you know, some input. And I think that makes a big difference for people to hear stories, hear some wisdom from people that have been there and done that sort of mentoring type role. Do you see that as an important thing for the more experienced coaches to do, is to encourage teams or speak to people and tell them their stories?
Yeah, but that's also for me, it's like share my knowledge to the world. It's not only about the techniques I do, the techniques I give, but also what's behind. And what's behind is a person is behind, is how you feel, how you engage with people, and how you can talk to them about things they can relate to. If you go to a championships, you fly, you are hungry, you have to drop weight, you cannot sit in the plane and eat, because when you come off the plane, you'll be too heavy. Small things that people can relate on. Oh yeah, that's his experience. What can I do with it? It's the same when you go to a hotel. The hotel is bad, but you have to fight. Most of my fights I won was I was in very bad hotels. And the best hotels I was, all my fights were lost or second or third, and then was never a gold medal. So when you talk to people and share the experience and just how you feel things, I think that makes a difference. That people can relate. Oh, okay, Saboom knows that feeling, because I have the feeling also. And for me, that's the most important thing. When somebody asked me, so Mark asked me to talk to the team, and I just share my experience with them so they can hear my voice and hear what I have to tell about how they're going to feel, what they're going to see, and what they're going to do, you know. And they're going to say, okay, it's not about me winning a medal because I fight with Tomas Barada, Wang Su, or any other guy in the world, you know. For me, it's like they have the feeling that the coach knows what they feel. And that's the most important thing. When I share my things with other teams and other competitors, it's, I know your feeling. You don't have to be afraid for that. Embrace it so you can be the best of yourself.
What's your impression of the New Zealand Taekwondo scene and how it's done over the years? How that's seen by other countries, perhaps? Because it's difficult for us to know here. I mean, we seem to have done well. I was just wondering what somebody else's impression is that from your angle.
From my angle, it's like you guys, Carl Ferron came by me with Mark Trotter to train, and the first thing I asked, why you come to me? You know, for sparring we have to be with you. And then for me, it's like if I look to the New Zealand team, they're so organized, they're structured. And I thought, what do they do? You work with cameras, you have a structured team, you have certain rules, things that you have to follow. And that make the most impression on me. And now I know also with the jumping, when I saw Carl, of course, and Sean. Sean did a small workshop when he was in Holland with Mark. It was unbelievable. And then you see how structured it is. And how do you guys from New Zealand look at things and analyze things? Then I thought, okay, for me, that makes a lot of sense why you had so many medals, why you're so always in the top three, top two with the countries.
Are there any top competitors you see coming up in the world that you've had your eye on that aren't champions at the moment, but you think they may well be in the future?
No, not really, because all the talent we saw coming up, they are there now. So of course, I'm privileged with my knees tied up because I know how hard you train. We trained in Croatia with the camp with all the guys and girls for the Waco kickboxing, and after that also for the Taekwondo World Championships, of course. Vitalis Olave, we know, you know, the guys from Argentina, we already know who are coming out, the new guys. Julio was already a long time there, and I saw him first time in Brighton on the World Cup, and I was looking at Thomas pointed me as that's Julio. I looked, he said, okay, that's quite a talent, and all the guys are now there. And we in Holland, we have a little bit of a gap between the seniors and the juniors to follow up. But worldwide, yeah, it's like the talents are there. From Germany, we have of course Alamin, he's very talented, and you saw him already coming up. But for now, I cannot say for sure. Are you for sure who's going to be the next generation coming up?
But you can say for sure what your own goals are for the future. What would you like to achieve over the next 5 years?
Over the next 5 years, of course, our Dragon Warrior Tour is floating around the world, because we're now having our own line, our own equipment. I cannot say that, because Johan will say, I cannot say that. I would say it anyway. We have our new tracksuits from Dragon Warrior. We have our website ready for the seminars. And of course, what for me in the next 5 years is most important is to develop, help countries to develop taekwondo to a higher level, even with the building of the federations or sparring and the technical things. That's for me the biggest thing.
Johan De Silva is laughing at you for some reason, or laughing at us. That's okay. We can take it.
Yeah, we have sound. I think he's not laughing because we have sound already.
Oh, I see. Any final advice for either competitors or coaches out there that might be listening to you today?
No, I keep all the secrets for myself.
No. Fair enough.
For the competitors, you know, don't think too lightly of competing anywhere. You have to make sacrifices. I did in my time. I make sacrifices, maybe not as much as I should, and maybe not as good if I should. Because nowadays everything is developing. Even the physical programs are changing. Food, most important. You want to take care of your health. All the competitors, care of your health. Don't do stupid things with dropping weights too much, and then you will risk your life. Yeah. And for the coaches also, they have to watch that carefully, because they're also responsible in a way, in a matter of way, how good the competitors are. So talk to them, listen also to them. And that was a fault I made in the old days. I did not listen because I thought I knew the best, because I was twice world champion, twice European champion, twice king of taekwondo. What can you tell me? That's not true. Don't think you know it all. You know, listen to people, and then you will learn also. So everybody has to learn something. For me, it's the same. So for coaches and competitors, you know, competitors, be careful with your health. Coaches, listen. And I think if you do that, you can understand the competitors more, and you can make the results much better. That's for me. That's a tip.
Fantastic advice. Fantastic wisdom. And it was really amazing to speak to you this morning. Apologies to everyone for the technical difficulties, but I'm so pleased we got this done, and was amazing chatting with you.
Thank you so much. Generous
and great to talk to and giving. Appreciate you so much.
Congratulations
on all your success.
Thank you.
Good luck with the rest of the coronavirus, and let's all get through it.
The dragon will beat the coronavirus. Don't worry. It'll be okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good evening. Bye, everyone. Stay safe.
Bye.